the New York Red Bulls. We need to switch back to European soccer, of course, and now ready to join us right here at the end of the week on the final show of the week. If you thought we were getting tired and maybe getting a bit lazy at the end of the week, you were completely wrong. I'm delighted to say that we've got one of our favourite guests joining us now on the line for the show today. Of course, it's Mr. Tim Stannard, Mr. La Liga Loca himself, talking all things Spanish football. Tim, how are you doing today, mate? It's a pleasure to have you back on the show.
It's a pleasure. I'm feeling tired and lazy, if everyone else is as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, we'll let you get away with some easier questions then today, and we'll get into the weekend of football of La Liga action coming up. We've got Barca and Madrid both in Champions League action next week. Madrid take on Betis, Barca take on Levante. Are we going to see some half sides put out? Are we going to see a lot of players rested for the games coming up next week?
It's difficult to know. It all depends on perhaps the approach that Barcelona and Real Madrid want to take. Probably for Barca, because Levante is going to be a fairly easy opponent with not a lot to play for. And so you'd imagine them playing the likes of Bartra and Montoya, and certainly resting Messi, Xavi, maybe the 6 or 7 of the 11 we'll see against Bayern Munich. Real Madrid's a different one because they've got a very good sparring partner in Betis. And I get the feeling perhaps in the same way they played a very strong lineup against Athletic Bilbao last week in what was a bit of a battle and they won 3-0. They got an opponent who really liked to attack. So I got a feeling that, they won't want to lose that game at the Santiago Bernabeu. They want to take it fairly seriously and perhaps warm up against what is actually quite a fast, dynamic team in Betis ahead of the Dortmund game. So I think Madrid will be taking that one a little bit more seriously. I think we'll see Cristiano Ronaldo playing, certainly.
You mentioned them as sparring partners, if you will. And is it useful for Madrid to have such a strong test as Betis going into this game, into the Champions League, to keep everybody kind of sharp and focused and not let anybody's attention slip as we get to the end of the season?
I think it is. I do think Mourinho has said this. You can be lulled into a little bit of a slump if you have a couple of very easy matches and you win 5 or 6-0. Perhaps it can be a little bit of a shock. And Betis this season have the third best away record in La Liga. They're in 7th place, if I'm not mistaken. So they're a good side who always score, who always attack. So Real Madrid will have to be on their guard. And I think it will help them a lot just to keep the players fresh. Keep the players on their toes. Make sure they're ready for the start of the Dortmund game, which again is going to be a very difficult, I think, opening 20 minutes for Madrid. It's also not a particularly dirty team, so the chance of injuries are a lot less than they certainly were against Athletic Bilbao last week.
And Betis, of course, will be coming out all guns blazing for this one. They're still in the fight for the Europa League spots because we're still kind of unsure what's happening with Malaga in terms of their European ban for next season. And Malaga meeting Valencia this weekend as well, it means that any points that Betis can pick up, absolutely vital.
Absolutely. I'm not sure they will pick any up. I think they're going to score a couple of goals. But things with Betis, they're all or nothing. And if I had to win the Premier this season, it would be Betis. You have to look back perhaps at the way they play was the Seville derby last week when they went 3-0 down against Sevilla, and then they came back in the second half and it was 3-3. They really are all or nothing. They scored 47 and conceded 46. So you never quite know what they're going to get. This is a team within a couple of weeks that lost 5-0 to Sevilla but beat Real Madrid in their own ground. So it's just a really fun team. And I think on Saturday, it's a 6 o'clock kickoff here in Spain. It's going to be a really good match.
It's sure to be very entertaining, to say the least, Tim. And there's talk going off the pitch in terms of this Europa League battle for Malaga, Valencia and Betis all in it at the moment. Pellegrini is saying he's getting very sick and tired of the way Malaga off the pitch are dealing with this financial situation. Can you give us a breakdown of what's been happening over the last few months with Malaga? And are we seeing maybe a potential turnaround, or is anything changing at all at the moment?
Nothing's changed whatsoever from perhaps the beginning of the season when there was the sudden sale of Santi Cazorla, and in fact it got worse over the winter window when Monreal was suddenly moved on to Arsenal to pay the bills, basically. And because it all depends on which side of the argument you'll take. Malaga said, we'll say, regards to the UEFA ban, that UEFA were picking them, making an example of them, rather than going for teams like PSG or Manchester City for not living within their means for outstanding debts. UEFA say you had outstanding debts with third parties, with third clubs, with your own employers, with your own players, with tax authorities, and Malaga actually say, well, your information's wrong. We'd actually either structured the debt, agreed the debt, or paid everything off. And this is what's currently going through the court. All we've heard from the owner of Malaga in recent months, Sheikh Al-Thani, is those tweets after the Dortmund game, you know, claiming conspiracy and racism and how everyone's, you know, got it in for their club. But perhaps Al Thani should be a little more vocal on what's the direction of the club. Is he looking to sell the club? Is he going to invest? Are they going to be buying? Are they going to be selling? What's going to be happening over the summer? At the moment, none of the players know anything, and Pellegrini, who would dearly love to stay at the club, I think he really enjoys Malaga and the chance he got there, doesn't know what's going on either. And perhaps the quote that best sums it up is from Di Michelis, the centre-back, who said, Malaga is a fantastic club. It's a wonderful place to live. It's a great quality of life. However, we simply don't know whether or not we're going to be sold or whether or not we're going to be staying.
Pellegrini obviously had that kind of surprise departure really from Madrid before this Malaga job, and has used it to kind of turn his career around. A number of people have said that it's been all Pellegrini, this turnaround at Malaga. Losing him then would be absolutely disastrous for the club.
It would be hugely disastrous, yeah. Pellegrini at the Real Madrid is a whole other story. He was stuck basically in a battle of politics. Florentino Perez was there. He never really wanted Pellegrini in the first place. He wanted other managers, and he knew Jose Mourinho was on the horizon. So there was a huge campaign from one of the newspapers' marker to get rid of him, even though he actually did a fantastic job there and, you know, only had 1 year, and he had some of the players he was counting on sold from under him. So he got another chance at Malaga, and he's a very calm, stable, professional face to what has been a very difficult circumstances. He's managed to keep the players in the Champions League chase while they weren't being paid, while there's so much uncertainty, while their colleagues and teammates are being sold. He also got them all that way in the Champions League as well. So, yeah, he's someone who's very professional. I think he would like to stay, but I don't think he can.
Who would be able to come into that Malaga job and do a similar sort of job in terms of commanding that ship, taking it through the rocky waters at the moment, should Pellegrini leave? Because the English papers are reporting that he has already been talking with Chelsea about taking that role next season.
I think it's far too early to say that, I think, because we simply have no idea what the future is for Malaga. We don't know what it's going to look for him over the summer. You know, he may stay. So it's too early to say at the moment.
What about with, I hate to bring it back to Real Madrid and Jose Mourinho and the possibility of his departure at the end of this season? And there's been the talk in the press this week that Mourinho has told Manuelo Alvarez that he definitely is leaving this year. Is this a more kind of substantial statement to put a pin on it and say he's definitely gone?
Well, he's saying that a lot of people are talking a little bit too much, but he doesn't really help himself because he doesn't say anything. Well, he actually spoke at a very rare press conference appearance in a league game. He almost never speaks. He normally sends out Aitor Karanka, his assistant, you know, and all the questions were in regards to, you know, are you staying or are you going? And he could easily kill them all off, you know, and say, you know what, I have a contract to 2016, which I recently signed, and I'm looking forward to continuing the project, something like that. He may not even mean it. But what he's saying is, well, me and myself and the president, we're good friends. We'll sit down at the end of the season and see what's best for everyone and see what's best for the club and for me, et cetera, when, you know, he could kill everything off and say, you know, I've got a contract for another 3 or 4 years, but he chooses not to. So what will happen? I don't know. I reckon he's probably just waiting around seeing what jobs may open up. And, of course, if he wins the Champions League, that changes an awful lot as well. He can, yeah, he can leave out the front door, as they say, with a middle finger raised, perhaps.
I don't think many would put that past Jose Mourinho either. On the other side of the big battle at the top of La Liga, Barcelona and the talks about Eric Abidal's future, how much have they missed Abidal this season as in that defence? And is there a possibility that he could be given that contract extension that he wants?
I think it's impossible to answer the second one because, yeah, it's not for us to be privy to you know, his long-term medical condition, his long-term desires, his fitness, etc. He's only just come back, so I think it's impossible to answer that one. Yeah, I mean, anyone who can play in defence have been missed. They, you know, they all season they just needed that extra hand at the back, that extra centre back. But I can see why they just didn't want to go into the market and spend 20 million and repeat perhaps of what happened with Truginski a few years ago, which never really worked out. So, yeah, they will say that they're not a club who can actually afford to blow 30, 40 million here like Manchester City or Chelsea. So they were a little bit unlucky with the injuries they have had. Puyol's been in and out, Pique a little bit in and out of form as well, and Mascherano's injured. So it just went, it all went against them. But at the end of the season, there's no reason why they can't end up with a Champions League win and a Liga victory as well. I think yes, obviously in football, especially in Spain, there's a tendency just to be so reactive. If you remember in Spain, when they lost to they lost out to Milan and it was all doom and gloom, and then they won heavily 4-0. So the lesson really about following football thinking in La Liga is not to jump to too many conclusions and just wait and see what happens after each game. There is a tendency, as I said before, for everyone just to panic a little bit, and it's quite feasible for Barcelona to be at their very best and dismissed Bayern Munich quite comfortably, or to be a very tight affair.
It's peculiar for Barca taking on Bayern, because for once next week, Tim, they might not be actually the favourites going into this one. Is that going to be a different situation for Barca to cope with going into this game?
It might take a little bit of pressure off them, to tell the truth, because, as you said, they are expected to thrash everybody. And when they don't, it seems some kind of disaster. But I see Barca almost perhaps a little bit of perhaps like Spain in the European Championships. We tend to remember the final when they destroyed Italy. But we don't tend to remember the difficulty they had getting through to the final, and perhaps it's the same pattern you saw with Spain in previous tournaments. Remember the victories, but Barcelona have struggled against Celta, struggled against Milan, not great against PSG. They got a tough game against Bayern Munich. But the thing is that with Barcelona, Bayern Munich will have to be at their best to beat them, but Barcelona at their best are unbeatable by anyone, and that's the difference.
When you look at the treble winning sides of the past, and Bayern on the cusp of it at the moment, Tim, when you go back, you compare the Inter side, the Barca side, and that Manchester United side, how good is this, do you think, from what you've seen of this Bayern Munich side this year, compared to that Barca side that won the treble in 08-09?
I'm going to be honest, I haven't really seen too much of them to be able to compare them. So, but I think these matches against Barcelona will certainly tell that in order to be compared with the treble-winning sides of Barcelona and Manchester United, you have to win something. And so perhaps in this particular situation, the pressure is on Bayern Munich after the troubles of the past few seasons. Barcelona can lose in the semi-finals and expect to be in the semi-finals for the seventh year in a row next year and potentially win it. But I think for Bayern, it's perhaps getting more and more difficult for them at the moment.
It's all raring to go for the Champions League next week. Just before you go, Tim, wouldn't mind discussing a little bit about Athletic Bilbao. And we saw them play, great football last year in the Europa League. They were a joy to watch at the end of last season. We had the calamitous start at the beginning of this year, Bielsa seemingly falling out with everybody at the club. How weird and how different is this rebuilding process going to be at Bilbao? And how is it going to take place, do you think, to try and get them back up towards the Europa League spots again?
I don't think it's going to take too much. There is the same squad there. Well, Llorente will be gone and Javi Martinez left last summer, but there's still some very talented players. And the trouble is, with Athletic Bilbao, they can have all the money in the bank in the world. They can have 200 million sitting there, but there's very few players in the world they can actually buy because of their policy. The architect, perhaps, of last year's success, Marcelo Bielsa, is the one who's going to have to go. He's never really stayed very long at a club, basically because he's a very odd human being. He's in some ways someone who doesn't really communicate very well on a personal level, perhaps, with his staff, with players. He's very peculiar. He's very obsessed. He's a brilliant football tactician. But when things are going very well for Athletic Bilbao, I think everyone believed in him. Everyone trusted him. But from the very start, even in pre-season, it started falling apart the way that the Javi Martinez transfer was handled, the disastrous handling of Fernando Llorente, who they let his contract run out till the summer, signed for Juventus basically in January and not play him either. He's only had three starts. So not only have they not got any money for him, they just had him kicking around and exiled. So that can't have been any good for team spirit. And he had weird things going on during the season. A couple of weeks ago, Muniain came on as a substitute, and then he himself was substituted 15 minutes left, which I can imagine can't make people happy. So I think it's very, very quick for them to turn it around just with a new boss.
Is somebody like Artiz Aduriz, the 13-goal man this season for Bilbao, is he a strong enough player to be able to come in and fill that Llorente, the void left by Llorente? Because I don't feel like he's done it as well as he could have this season, the 32-year-old.
He's had a sticky patch recently, but he has got 13 goals, and I think Llorente got 16 last season, so he's not done too badly. But to be fair to him, he's the only striker they've got, and he's had an awful lot of responsibility on his shoulders. And he's someone, again, who's on the other side of his career, you could say. So he's done the best he can, but it's hard to see how they are going to replace Juventus. I mean, they tried this season and it hasn't really worked. So they've got to dig around somewhere. for a Basque striker that can knock in 20, 25 goals a season. That's going to be difficult.
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing to find, that's for sure. And it's not the easiest thing to be about Bilbao fan for this season. Tim, it's an absolute pleasure to chat with you today about all things La Liga football and get your insights on both what's going on and off the pitch in La Liga, mate. And we look forward to catching up with you again before the end of the season, mate.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Tim Stannard, Mr. La Liga Loca himself, joining us here on World Football Daily to talk all things La Liga football. Of course, we will be running through the European games towards the end of the show, but Real Madrid taking on Betis, Barca taking on Levante.